Meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time, Mr. Jeskowitz?
7:39.
Thank you, sir. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on January 8, 2015, faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Hunterdon Review, and Express Times, posting on the district website, the main bulletin board, in the administrative office, and in each Clinton Township school. And finally, faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Jeskowitz, will you please have a roll call, sir?
Mrs. Grant.
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Here.
Mrs. Hand.
Here.
Mr. Malloy.
Here.
Mrs. McHugh.
Here.
Mr. McTiernan. Mr. Petuto.
Here.
Mr. Sturgis.
Here.
Mrs. Vanderhoff.
Here.
Mr. Petuto, would you please lead the Pledge of Allegiance, sir?
Sure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Members of the board, ladies and gentlemen, you are in for a treat tonight. We have our CTMS Camarada singers are going to perform for you. They are led by Ruha Alexander, a student, and Mr. Tariff was unable to be here tonight, so Mr. Schaefer has stepped in. And in case you didn't know, Mr. Schaefer is one of our Clinton Township Middle School Educators of the Year, so we're really pleased that he's with us tonight. So, Ruha, up to you.
Tell me if you can. Johnny wants a
quartet singing for you, Angels We Have Heard on High.
And guys, you can go home. Some have been here since 7 o'clock this morning. Some students have not gone home yet.
And on behalf of the Board of Education, I'd also like to thank Mr. Schaefer for coming out extra special tonight. And also to congratulate Mr. Schaefer for being Teacher of the Year as well.
Thank you.
Really, we're not going to sing, so if you guys want to stay, that's okay.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I might sing.
You want to sing? Okay, go ahead.
Stay till the end.
Mr. Malloy, would you please be the process guardian for tonight?
Yes, happy
Thank
to.
Thank you, sir. Each year, the Board of Education is required to have our designated auditor come to our board meeting to review our finances and our budget for the prior school year. Tonight, I'd like to welcome Mr. William Colitano back to our community. It is nice to see you once again, sir, and you have our report on our finances for the prior year.
Thank you for inviting me back again. Next year, do not put me after the singers, because I didn't look back. I do not want to do that again. Is this working or? Yeah, I guess it is. This year, the audit is late, and I apologize for that. It's the state's doing. Is this working or?
Can you pull it closer?
Hello, hello. Yep. This year, the audit is late because there's a new requirement that has to be included in your audit report. And I was told by your business administrator I have 2 minutes, so this is going to be quick. Actually, he told me 15. Included in the audit is a new requirement this year. It's not a positive one. For many years, we've had the liability for the pension for the PERS employees, the public employees, retirement system employees, which are your maintenance people, secretaries, things of that nature, not the professional staff as far as teachers, but the PERS student employees. The liability for Clinton Township as of June 30th, 2014 is $6,661,000. That's reflected in your financial statements this year for the very first time. We always knew we had a liability. We never knew how much it was. This year, we're required to put it in. It's based on numbers that were developed at the state level, and it's included in your financial statements. Because of this liability, the $6 million, we have an unrestricted net position of a negative $6,500,000. I've been telling my boards not to worry about it. It's a liability we have, but it's not tomorrow. It's going to be spread out over many, many years. So that's the bad news. That's your Christmas present from the state. Now we know what the dollar amount is, but it was always there. It's not a surprise anymore. The only fears that we had, and your business administrator beat the gun by having a bond sale before the news came out. Because my concerns were, even though the state says it's probably not going to happen, there should be some consideration given by the people who review the bonds and issue a statement on the quality of the bond. The state says it's not going to be a negative impact, but I can't understand why it wouldn't be, because now we know what the dollar amount is. It's not a question mark any longer. Now it's a known amount. But that's the only difference in this year's financial statements. That number is now included. Now, if you remember prior years, I give you the handout that's in front of all of you. There are certain pages in the audit that I think you as board members should be aware of, and I like to bring them out and bring them to your attention to make you aware of what's happening here. Not that you don't know, but I want to highlight it because it's in the report, and you just have to know where to pull it from. The first page of the handout is the B2 audit exhibit, which compares this year's to last year's B2 exhibit. And basically what it does, it tells you where the increases were, decreases. This is the very first page. And where your increases or decreases were in expenditures. If you look at the report, taxes are up $80,172 when you compare last year's to this year's. A mere $50,000 in the general fund and a small $30,000 in the debt service. What that meant to the taxpayers in Clinton Township was a 0.37 cent increase, or $37 on a $100,000 home. No, I'm sorry, I take that back. It's 37 cents. It was a under a 1 cent increase, so it's $3.70 on a $100,000 home. $500,000 homes, five times that dollar amount. So it was a real nominal increase. Other increases, there was actually a negative increase in state aid. That was because of a large reduction in your school choice aid. I'm sure you remember that from last year, but it does show a negative increase in state aid, which would have had an impact on your year-end surplus. If you look at your expenditures, I've got a cheat sheet in front of me, which is yours, but I have a lot of VGs on it indicating very good. But we have nominal increases. Actually, we have decreases in most of the major categories. Your instructional area, there's a decrease of 3%. Pupil transportation in total is only up 0.76%. So throughout, we have a real positive situation here as far as control of expenditures. The second page of the handout is your surplus status. Now, this is a surplus status from the year 2005. So we have 11 years here. You can see where you went. And if you remember prior years, I tell you what your surplus is, and I proceed to take it all away from you. Because what you've done is put money aside for various purposes on the allowed reserves that the state has. You went from 2005, a $663,000 total surplus, to this year's $3,009,000. The biggest change is putting money aside in the capital reserves. So future needs of the district capital-wise, we basically had the money in our back pocket. There will be no impact to the taxpayers for that because of those capital expenditures that are foreseen in the future. We have money, $1,005,000, sitting, waiting to be spent. We have a maintenance reserve, which also pertains to capital items. It's the maintenance of the properties, so $373,000. That went up $50,000 this year. We have $240,000 in tax relief. One of the things you want to remember when you're putting money aside is the impact on what you're doing. 1 cent on a tax rate is based on your assessed values. Clinton Township has $2,149,000,000 worth of assessments, which means for every $214,914 you spend, that's 1 cent on a tax rate. You have set aside this year basically 1 cent on a tax rate. You're saving the taxpayers. The only thing you have to worry about is the impact on what you might be doing with that. It's always a good idea to reduce taxes, but you're also giving up something within the district also. So in order for you to save 1 cent on a tax rate, which means $10 on a $100,000 home, you're giving up $214,000, roughly $215,000 in expenditures. So it's a balancing act that you have to do. You know, really, what's the benefit? You want to give up $215,000 here for a $500,000 house to save $50 in real estate taxes. Sometimes it doesn't really prove to be beneficial. The last page of the handout is the J4 audit exhibit. Now, the J4 exhibit is a 10-year exhibit of what's happened in Clinton Township. We're showing increases of, in real estate taxes of about 29%, but I want you to take a special interest on the amount of state aid that we've received over that 10-year period of time. We did receive an increase from the state, but it's only a 15% increase over a 10-year period of time. Basically, what's happened here is the state has not kept up with Clinton Township's needs. Because of the small increase that we received from the state of New Jersey, you've had no choice but to put that into the taxpayers' hands to make up the difference.
Mr. Colantano, may I ask a question? I know that there was some work being done, I don't know if it was in the assembly or not, to sort of change the distribution of aid. Has that gone any further?
One of the problems with the aid that the state of New Jersey gives out, it's usually to the special needs district. I just made the comment previously at the meeting tonight at Huntington Central. The state of New Jersey has always said they fund education 65% of the total educational bill within the state of New Jersey. However, people like Newark, Camden, Jersey City get 95% of that. Their budgets are 95% funded by the state of New Jersey. Yours is maybe 10% if you're lucky, 20%. Sadly to say, those cities are Democratic. So the possibility of changing the formula to Republican communities out here in Hunterdon County are kind of slim or none. It'd be nice to see. I know people are trying for it, but it's going to be difficult to get through because there's not enough money to give Newark their 95% and bring Clinton Township to 95%. It's not going to happen. So I wouldn't spend it until you actually got it. And only my wife calls me Mr. Colentano, so from now on it's Bill, okay? The expenditures over that 10-year period of time are good. They're positive. Things I do want you to take note of is the over that period of time, the average daily enrollment is actually down. We're down about 20%. And that's happened to most of my grammar school districts. The high school has increases in population, but the grammar schools actually have reductions. I think there's maybe two towns within the county that have had increases, Frenchtown and maybe Lambertville. But everybody else, at least my clients, have roughly a 20% decrease in student population. Now, one of the concerns, usually when I make a comment about the student population being down, the public's going to say, well, how come costs aren't down? It doesn't work that way. We lost 353 kids over that 10-year period of time. And I read the paper. I know what you're thinking about, what's going on with schools and whatnot. But just because we lost 353 kids doesn't mean they're all in one class. So that 353 kids wasn't eighth graders. So we can't drop two or three classes, if you know what I'm saying. It's got to be spread over the entire school system. So we're not going to lose a 20% amount in your budget because we've lost that much in students. The spread is usually even over the 13 classes that you have. The cost reductions might be transportation, student supplies, but not the heavy hitters, not the teaching salaries, the fringe benefits. Those are going to be pretty much even, if you will, but not going to be a 20% reduction. It's not going to happen unless you want classes of 30 kids instead of 20, you know, which I don't think is the case. The last thing that I wanted to look at, as part of the handout that you have in front of you, I've given you the state letter indicating that they're not concerned about the pension and also a description of what I talked about. So read that at your leisure. Go to sleep. It's boring, but it's not very meaningful. You know, the last thing I wanted to show you, too, is the real estate tax situation in Lebanon, Clinton Township. I said Lebanon because that's where I live. The tax rates are shown on your audit report on page 112. Now, in previous years, I've given you analysis taxes, but I didn't want to do it this year because even the assessments have been dramatically changed over that period of time. But if you look at the local school, which is there's a combination of numbers that I'm showing for the basic tax rate and the debt service. Over the last 2 years, you've only increased taxes by 2 cents. Again, that's a positive for you, but again, you have to measure. You know, what's the benefit? Perhaps you may not want to do that if you need the additional money for something that may have come up. Now, we had an excellent year this year, surplus-wise, going back to my analysis of surplus and the large increase we had. And a good part of that is the result of when you do your budgets. You're about to start your budget work January, February. It's going to be passed by the state of New Jersey, but your school year doesn't start until really September 1. So there's a big span of time in between. Last year, we were pretty lucky as far as a lot of the things that we appropriated. A lot of school districts end up being surprised. Usually the big surprise will come in special needs tuition and transportation. Because that's one thing you cannot identify early on what's going to be the true number come September. That's always a problem with most of my districts where they get surprised during the year. And that's the big problem we have. Your municipality will pass a budget probably around April or May, but their year is already 4 months gone. And they know what the winter costs are going to be, the snow plowing, the ice removal, things of that nature. That's a big hit, but they know what it is. You don't know these things when you're doing your budget. So it's Tony's really got a tough job to determine that budget. Any questions? Everything? I'm really happy with the finances. The pension situation, everybody has it. It's a liability we have. When it's going to hit, nobody knows. But it's a dollar amount that we have that we're obligated for, but it's going to be spread over many years. But now we have to report it. But otherwise, I'm very, very satisfied with your financial status.
Thank you. Any questions for Bill?
I have a question on the special school summer programs. So I see an increase over the 10-year span of 237%. Is there any movement at the state level to start to cap some of these out-of-district places?
I didn't really hear you. I'm sorry. The last part.
The summer school, summer programs, is there any movement at the state level to cap some of the out-of-district placements and what their tuition costs are?
No. You get some relief. You get money back. But the money you get back, you don't really want, because the more money you get back, it means the more money you spend. So that's something you don't want. The cap is your 2% that they're allowing. So there are exceptions to the rule, but the biggest one is the 2% that the state's allowing you. And luckily, you're in a situation where you're not a sending district to a high school. And that's a different tax levy. I have clients that send their kids to high school, and their budget is impacted by the tuition they're paying to those high schools. You're sitting good because you're controlling your own destiny bank, basically, here. But the schools that don't are really at the mercy of the high school. I have a presentation to make early next month on a school district that's going for a $600,000 additional levy because of the situation that the high school put them in. Not intentionally, but right. The way it works.
Mr. Malloy?
Yeah, two questions, Bill. Thank you for the presentation. The first is, so we received the sort of final number on the pension liability. You mentioned earlier that we've got some time to obviously accrue to fund that, but won't the pension liability also keep rising, or is that a static number?
No, it's not. It changes. You're about 52% funded right now. It's the other 40%, 48% that we don't have. That's where the net pension liability comes in. Now, luckily, the state of New Jersey is responsible for the teacher's pension annuity fund. That's a state obligation. Our obligation is the PERS people. The discussion we just had earlier tonight is we're paying about 12% of the teacher of those salaries right now in the pension contribution every year. The individual employee is paying about 7.5%. The problem is it's a defined benefit plan as opposed to a defined contribution. That's where they're able to identify what the liability will be in the future, both on the people who are retired now and the ones that are in the system and will be retired in the future. We had talked at the meeting tonight also that of all the reserves that you have, I was suggesting them to them that maybe they can get some kind of action at the Trenton level to allow one more reserve for us to put money aside. Like I said, we had a great year this year, and we built up the capital reserve. Maybe if we were allowed an additional reserve for future pension payments so it doesn't hit you all at once, if we could put some money aside
right.
Each year.
So a follow-on to that question, you obviously represent many more school districts than just ours. This is not an isolated incident, I know that, but aside from upping reserves, are you recommending any sort of alternative funding mechanisms, annuitizing, capping, offering early buyouts, anything?
It's nothing you can do at this point in time. The state in their, we'll call it infinite wisdom, a few years ago, thought if they bonded and received a huge amount of cash and then invested the cash, we'd be able to take care of the pension system. Timing was not good because they did it before the crash. Basically what they bought as far as investments really didn't pan out. And then we had a few years where we didn't make any contributions at all. So they basically put us behind the eight ball.
Okay, and then, I'm sorry, one more question.
Sure.
Unrelated note, but looking through the J4, you're showing increased expenses, reduced enrollment. Again, looking at somebody, you represent far more districts than just ours. Would you describe our spending per pupil as on the high end of your client base, low end, mid-range?
For whatever reason, this district has always appeared to be a little bit below my other districts. The areas of increase that I'm showing are equivalent to the other districts. But
right.
I think what's happened over the years, you created a base where the increases are not as high as some of my other districts.
Well, I see three things drive it, right? You've got obviously instruction costs, student instruction related services, and our portion of the benefit costs are driving pretty much the bus here.
Yeah, the biggest area of increase in my other districts is the caption student and instruction related services. You're showing a large increase there, roughly 42%. The accounts that make that up are the child study team. Health was a large increase, primarily because we added a school over that 10-year period of time. So now we have another health office that we didn't have at the beginning of the 10-year period of time. Guidance is an increase. Child study team is probably the biggest increase that we had. Again, most of that stuff is mandated by the state, and it all pertains to special ed.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Bill? Thank you so much for coming.
Pleasure.
It was a pleasure seeing you again.
Thank you for inviting me back. The more times I come back, the better I feel. I still have you as a client, which is great.
Have a great holiday season.
Thank you
so much.
You too.
Thank you.
So we've had two presentations so far this evening, which were very good presentations, and just want to take a moment to welcome everybody to our monthly board meeting this evening. Today is Monday, December 21st, 2015, and once again, I can't believe it's this late in the year and we're all preparing for the holiday season, and it just feels like we were just preparing for the beginning of the school year, but now we're preparing to put our Christmas trees up, and if I can actually stop ours from tumbling over and having to pick it up again, that would be great. On a personal note, I'd like to wish my colleagues on the Board of Ed and Mr. Gagliardi a very happy holiday season and a healthy and safe new year. It's been a pleasure and honor to work with each and every one of you during the past 12 months. All of you have worked an enormous number of hours serving on a variety of ad hoc committees, developing our annual budget, serving on our facilities and finance, our personnel negotiations committee, and on our policy and curriculum committee. All of your contributions have helped to ensure that the children of Clinton Township receive the highest quality education possible while being very fiscally responsible with our taxpayers' dollars. Once again, I'd like to thank all of you for what you've done and wish each and every one of your families a very happy holiday season and hope you have a very safe and healthy new year. I'd also like to say to all of our staff and our administrators, on behalf of the Clinton Township Board of Education, I'd like to wish each and every one of you also a very happy holiday season. Thank you for all that you've done for our children over the course of the years you've been here, but also since school started this year. And we wish you, too, a very healthy and happy new year. Tonight's Board of Education meeting marks the last monthly board meeting for two long-standing board members. Notice I didn't call you old board members, it was long-standing board members. Mr. Kevin Malloy and Mr. McTiernan. Unfortunately, Mr. McTiernan is not able to attend this evening's meeting. But I'd just like to take a moment to recognize them for their hard work and dedication to the children of our township. I'd like to start with Mr. Malloy. He's been on the Clinton Township Board of Education for 4 years. Mr. Malloy interviewed for an open board seat on the Board of Education in November in 2011 and was selected by the members of the board to serve for the remaining portion of the seat's term. He sought re-election for a seat on the board in 2012 and was re-elected. During his time on the board, Mr. Malloy served as chair and as a member of the Facilities and Finance Committee, a member of the Personnel Negotiations Committee, a member of the Negotiations Committee, a member of the Kindergarten Ad Hoc Committee, and as a member of the Feasibility of Closing the School Committee. I think I got it all.
Thanks.
Mr. Morley juggled a very challenging work schedule that consisted of a lot of out-of-town travel and family schedule while being able to contribute as a member to this Board of Education. And on behalf of the Board of Education, I'd like to thank him, thank you for all
thank
of
you.
Your service to the children of our community. We have a small gift for you, Mr. Morley.
Oh.
It is the traditional first red schoolhouse of Clinton Township from many, many moons ago. And whenever a board member completes their service on the Board of Education, they get this as a departing gift.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you very much. Yeah, just very quickly, I'd like to thank everybody with whom I've served. I've served with, I see three faces who were there on the first night, so at least my process of elimination, at least one of you voted for me to serve. So thank you for that. I thoroughly enjoyed my time. I would encourage anybody to, if they're interested in service, look into this. And it just makes me love the town even more to be a part of this. You know, it's just been a great place to put down roots. Special thanks to you, obviously, Maria. You guys may or may not know this, but Maria's always been a bit of a mentor to me on this board. So thank you. And even though she's not here, the single most important and gratifying thing I ever did was be a part of the team that brought Dr. Clark to our district. She's a star. So I feel great about my kids coming here. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, unfortunately, Mr. McTiernan is not able to make it tonight. He called me shortly before the meeting to share with me he couldn't come, and he wants to extend his apologies for not being able to make it, but I would like to take a moment to recognize him this evening as well. Mr. McTiernan has been a member of the Clinton Township Board of Education for also 4 years. He too interviewed for an open seat shortly after Mr. Molloy did. And he started his term in March of 2012 and was selected by the members of the board to serve for the remaining portion of that particular seat's term. He sought re-election for a seat on the board in 2012 and was re-elected. Mr. McTiernan has served as a member of the Facilities and Finance Committee, as chair, and as a member of the Personnel Committee, chair of the Negotiations Committee, the board liaison to the Town Council, and the board's representative to the District DEAC Committee. During his tenure on the Board of Education, Mr. McTiernan dedicated his time to the children of our community and made substantial contributions to our district. And on behalf of the Board of Education, I'd like to thank him for his service to the children of our community. The next meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will be on January 4th, 2016. And this will be our annual reorganization meeting for this particular board. I will get to you before tonight's over the monthly task list. I just didn't get a chance to make copies, but we have that. We've secured all the things that we're responsible for securing as a board and as administration. So congratulations to each and every one of you for doing that as well. I'd like to take a moment to recognize Teachers of the Year. Today, the district announced the winners of this very prestigious honor. I'll start off with the Clinton Township Middle School. As we stated earlier this evening, Mr. Steve Schaefer is the Educator of the Year for Clinton Township Middle School, and Elizabeth Jane Smolin is the Educational Service Professional for the Clinton Township Middle School. Moving on to the Round Valley School, an extraordinary math teacher in Patricia Comley is the Educator of the Year. And if anybody's ever had Mrs. Comley, she's fantastic. Very tough on the kids, but fantastic. So congratulations to her and to Susan Strait. She is the school nurse at Round Valley, and she is the Educational Service Professional representing that school for this year. Patrick McGarren School, Erin Repsher, fabulous music teacher at Patrick McGarren. She is the Educator of the Year, and Susan Ehrler, librarian at Patrick McGarren, is the Educational Service Professional of the Year. And finally, rounding up all four schools is Spruce Run. Miss Ellen Sidbury, a very good enrichment teacher, is the Educator of the Year at Spruce Run School. and Marianne Pendleberry is the educational service professional for that particular school. So on behalf of the Clinton Township Board of Education, we'd like to congratulate all of those teachers. Dr. Clark was unable to make it to this evening's meeting. She sends her regrets, but she asked me to please extend to everybody in the audience and to the Board of Education a happy holiday season and a great new year. Mr. Juskiewicz, can you give Dr. Clark's report for the evening, sir?
Sure. The enrollment report for this month is 1,406 students. We have our suspension report. There is one day in-school suspension at the Clinton Township Middle School and 1 3-day out-of-school suspension at Clinton Township Middle School. The HIB report that we have, there are a total of 8 incidences that had occurred, one at Round Valley, 5 at the middle school, 1 at Spruce Run, and 1 at Patrick McGarren. Having investigated those, not particularly myself, there were 8 where all of those were found to be unfounded. So that concludes the report of the superintendent.
Before we move the action item under the superintendent's report, I would like to share with everyone that the annual tradition of Dr. Clark and Mr. Clark providing fudge to the board has happened again. For those in the audience who didn't get a piece of fudge, we have fudge for you as well to continue the tradition. So make sure you stop by before executive session and get some fudge. However, mine is missing. So if anyone happens to see my batch of fudge, please let me know, because if I go home without my children having some fudge, knowing it's coming tonight, I'm going to be in trouble. Okay. I'd like to, I'm seeking for a motion, please, for action item 16 SU008. Second, please.
I'll second.
Second. Mr. Malloy. And any questions on the report for this evening? No, seeing none. Mr. Juskiewicz, may we please have a roll call, sir?
Mrs. Vanderhoff.
Yes.
Mr. Malloy.
Yes.
Mrs. Hand.
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh.
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mr. Petuto.
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis.
Yes.
Mrs. Grant.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to now move on to the public comments section of action items only. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comments section. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We'll adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comments section is only for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. The board will make any note of questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of the public comments section. To the extent any other action is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or the superintendent of schools as appropriate. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board this evening, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this section to 30 minutes.
Alison Ford, Seven Oakridge Road, Annandale. I was actually hoping to pose this question to Mr. McTiernan, as it was one of his last sessions today, because we haven't had much of an update on the staff negotiations, and I just wondered if there was going to be anything in the meeting this evening about it. I know you can answer me
that. Would anyone else like to address the board this evening? No? Seeing none. I'd like to open the floor to our first recognition of the public. This section will be only for comments made by the public on school-related matters only. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone, If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, will be answered at the conclusion of the comments section. To the extent any other action is warranted, it will be addressed by the Board President and Superintendent. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the Board, please come to the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 30 minutes. Anyone like to address the Board? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on then to the report of our School Business Administrator and Board Secretary, Mr. Juskowitz. Sir, your report.
As Ms. Grant stated earlier, the Board of Education's reorganization meeting is scheduled for Monday, January 4th, 2016 at 7:30 p.m. in the auditorium of the Clinton Township Middle School. A week later, we will then be having our next meeting. The January 4th meeting is our reorganization meeting. There will be another meeting on January 11th at the same place and at the same time. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, sir. Looking for a motion, please, for action item 16BA018 to 16BA-20.
Motion,
Ms. Pertuto. Second, please.
Second.
Second, Ms. McLaughlin. Any questions for Mr. Juskowitz this evening? No, seeing none, may we have a roll call, sir?
Mr. Pertuto.
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes, but I have to abstain on the executive session minutes of 16BA017.
Mrs. Hand.
Yes.
Mr. Malloy.
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh.
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis.
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderoff. Mrs. Grant.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. We'll now move on to the reports of our committees. Our first committee up tonight is our Facilities and Finance Committee. Mr. John Pertuto is the chair of this committee. Mr. Pertuto, can you give your committee's report, sir?
Certainly. Tonight's agenda has a total of 14 action items. They are made up of typical monthly events, including the payment of monthly bills for the period of December. We have several requests for employee travel and also several requests for graduate course approval, and several items related to the ongoing security improvements throughout the district and other site improvements. With action item 16FF126, we would like to accept four separate grants from the Clinton Township Foundation for Educational Excellence. Those grants total in excess of $10,000. So with that, I'm seeking a motion for action items 16FF-123 through 16FF-137.
I'll second.
Second, Kevin. Any questions for Mr. Pertuto this evening?
John, what is a 131? What is the safety training?
Can you speak up just a little bit, Kevin, so we can capture it, please?
On 131, the training for Steve Sluka, what type of training is it?
That's training for asbestos awareness that everybody has to go through, bloodborne pathogens, and right-to-know training. There are some people that had come on board after we had our initial training, and these individuals, just to keep online with having the training done every other year, those are the people that are being trained.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Ms. Pertuto? No, seeing none, we have a roll call, please.
Mr. Pertuto.
Yes.
Mr. Malloy.
Yes.
Mrs. Hand.
I need to abstain on FF123, and yes to the rest.
Mrs. McHugh.
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis.
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderoff.
Yes.
Mrs. Grant.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to the second committee of the board this evening is our Personnel Negotiations Committee. I'll do the committee report for this evening on behalf of Mr. McTiernan. The committee met on December 8th. We discussed agenda items that we would see on tonight's agenda, reviewed job descriptions for the Richmond teacher, and discussed the hiring for a district technician and accounts payable employee. On tonight's agenda, we have two resignations in the area of technology support and one in accounts payable. And unfortunately for the children of our district, we received four letters of retirement for very valuable staff from our district. I'd like to recognize them this evening. Ms. Lynn DeLeo, school nurse at Patrick McGarren, Ms. Regina Galina, social studies teacher at CTMS, Ms. Deborah Lennig, French teacher at CTMS, and Ms. Robin Pruce, social studies teacher, also at CTMS. The retirement of these four staff members will leave a huge hole in our district. Their dedication to our children, years of service, their level of expertise in their area of specialty, and the love for their job will be very difficult for us to replace. We'd like to thank them for all their years of service to our children and to our community, and we'll wish them luck in June. In addition, on tonight's agenda, we're approving the contract of our supervisor of building and grounds. We have five maternity leave requests, and we'll be voting on a new job description for enrichment teacher. So I would like to please move action item 16PN102 to action item 16PN120. I'm looking for a second, please.
Second,
Mrs. Dye. Any questions? No? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Vander Off?
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Moving on to our final committee report of the evening, is our policy and curriculum. Ms. Rachel McLaughlin is the chair of that committee. Ms. McLaughlin, can you please give your committee report?
Surely. The Policy and Curriculum Committee met on Monday, December 14th. We discussed a variety of policies and field trips, as well as some other things that will be coming forward in the coming months on the agenda. Just to give the board an update, we have recently authorized New Jersey school boards to do an overhaul of our policies to look for redundant policies, just kind of weed out things that maybe were outdated or no longer needed by law, and that work is ongoing. Dr. Clark tells me that as soon as it is completed, she will let our committee know and I will let the board know what that looks like. We have tonight on the agenda a first reading for an organizational chart, as well as pupil suicide prevention and pupil suicide regulation. We also have field trips. I'm just going to go through the field trips. There is a 6th to 8th grade small student group going to Ridgedale Middle School. This is a technology-related field trip. The Gettysburg National Park we have been doing as a board for several years. I think this might be our 3rd year. The students, approximately 50 students in 8th grade, write an essay, and they have to have a certain grade level performance. Then they're recommended based on teacher recommendation after they read the essays. So they go for the day, and the board supports that field trip. In addition to that, the ski club will be starting, hopefully, if it's not 70 degrees every day. I'm not sure what happens in that case. It says rain dates. It's kind of funny, not snow dates. So that's the students pay for that. The board just approves the teacher chaperones, which I think we're on the last agenda, yeah, if I recall. Six Flags Great Adventure, the Golden Eagle Singers will go and perform, and the 7th and 8th graders band and chorus go to Hershey Park in May. And I think those are the field trips to date. So with that being said, I'm going to pass approve for motion action item 16PC18 through 16PC20.
Is it 08?
Is it 08?
No, 18
to 20. Right. There's only three.
You're right, sorry. Mm-hmm. Looking for a second, please?
I'll second.
Mr. Malloy? Any questions for Mrs. McLaughlin? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Vander Off?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. We have one ad hoc committee currently in place for the district, and that is the feasibility of closing the school. Originally, we were going to do the presentation in January. We have been very fortunate to find a couple of experts to help us do some further analysis on the feasibility of closing the school. We'll be speaking with them in the January, early February timeframe, and we'll slate the presentation then for February. That's my report on that ad hoc committee for now, and now I'd like to move on to old business of the board. This portion of our meeting is for board members to ask questions about old business of the board on school-related matters only. It's not a time to make personal statements, rather it's a time to review topics that have been previously discussed and bring up old topics relative to the business of the board. Any board members have any old topics they'd like to bring up? Mr. Sturgis is the liaison to ESC. Mr. Sturgis, did your organization meet in last board?
They haven't met. Their next meeting's in February.
In February?
The Delegate Assembly only meets twice a year.
Okay.
The Board of Directors meets more often, but the Delegate Assembly won't meet again until February.
All right, thank you. Ms. McLaughlin is our liaison to Lurie County Board of Education. Do you have anything to report this month?
Our next meeting is in January.
Is in January. Okay, great. Thank you very much. I'll move on then to new business. Any members of the Board of Education like to bring up any new business this evening? No? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on then to the public comments section, the second recognition of the public. The same parameters that apply for the first recognition of the public apply here. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 30 minutes. Okay, thank you. Mr. Jeskiewicz, can you please read the executive session statement, sir?
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Bayer Open Public Meetings Act NJSA 10:4-6 et sec requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12b sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiation in which the public body is or may become a party, any matters falling within the attorney-client privilege to the extent that confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer, the nature of the matter described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality is contract negotiations and matters protected by the attorney-client privilege. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action will not be taken upon return.
Thank you, Mr. Jeskiewicz. I'm looking for a motion, please, to go into executive session.
So moved.
Rachel? Second, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're now in executive session. Looking for a motion, please, to reconvene the meeting.
Motion.
Mrs. McHugh. Second, please.
Second.
Pick somebody. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We are now back in regular session. I'm now looking for a motion, please, to adjourn the meeting.
Motion.
A second, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is adjourned. Happy holidays.